Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. And Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. We begin today's message. We begin today's reading. We begin looking at Solomon today with a big oops. The place where one was to offer sacrifice to God, the place where one was to offer sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, the place where one was to offer a sacrifice acceptable to the Lord with incense and burnt offerings, the place where one was to offer sacrifice for the remission of sins was in Jerusalem on the holy mountain, with most especially the Ark of the Covenant. And here now, the Ark of the Covenant, it is in the city of David, it is in Jerusalem, and not only that, but they have there a temple. He could be worshiping there where God not only appointed, but indeed anointed worship. But instead, Solomon is at Gibeon, worshiping where he's not supposed to be worshiping. Worshiping not before the appointed and anointed portable altar, the Ark of the Covenant, in the temple on the mountain in Jerusalem, but rather at Gibeon. We begin today's message with a real big oops. But it's an oops that illustrates our own condition, our own status, our own place, our own experience. It's an oops that truly encompasses the life of Solomon, who was very much like you and me. An oops that illustrates the fact that even if you are doing the wrong thing, and Solomon was, still, God, in His incredible, amazing mercy, love, wisdom, and grace, God, in God's incredible mercy, is willing to reach through our mistakes to us with a word, with grace, with love, forgiveness, direction, strength, and power. God can reach through our errors and our mistakes, our sin, to where we are and in our need, and speak to us. That's point number one today. The oops of this passage. Yes, Solomon walked in the ways of his father David. Some of those ways weren't the best ways, especially the ways that David walked on the roof of his house, looking over fences at his next-door neighbor taking a bath. But no, this speaks specifically about the right ways. Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the statutes of his father David. That's good. Except, only, he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. He worshipped not where God had appointed and anointed for worship. He worshipped at Gibeon and the high places. And even though he was doing what he wasn't supposed to be doing, even though he was worshipping where he shouldn't be worshipping, God saw that his intention was appropriate. His action was not where he was doing it was wrong, but his desire and intention was appropriate, and God reached through the error, the sin, to speak to him. And what does God say? You have shown great and steadfast love. This is Solomon speaking. You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and in uprightness of heart towards you, and you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, Solomon asks, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered and counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people? When asked what he wanted, and he could ask for anything, when asked what he wanted, when in the darkness of his mistake and going to Gibeon, still God reached through to the intent and the rightness of Solomon's desire and spoke to him. In that moment, Solomon could have asked for anything. But instead of asking for riches, instead of asking for worldly power, instead of asking for sex, although he had a lot of that, he asked for wisdom, guidance, discernment from God. He asked for wisdom, guidance, discernment from God Almighty. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people? I can't. He recognized he was incapable of doing the job on his own. He recognized that he was incapable of living up to the standard that had been set for him by his father David. He recognized that by human ability and by human power, it was impossible for him to govern the great people that God had selected, the people of Israel. So he asked for the discernment, the wisdom that God would grant in order to be able to rule. It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this, and I have and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right. Now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. You asked for wisdom, you asked for discernment, you asked for what you needed to rule over and govern my people. So I now, God says, will give you that and more, even what you didn't ask for. Riches, power, and even a long life. I spent some time this week during, especially towards the end of the week, watching as the news covered the blackout on the East Coast, wondering about what it would be like to try to govern this people. I'm not talking about Israel, although they are a difficult people to govern. I'm talking about this people. This people. Americans. And I was wondering what was it going to be like when the sun went down in New York City and they didn't have any electricity. I remembered 1977 and the looting and the fires. And I remember hearing about 1965 and the lootings and the fires, and I thought, oh my Lord, it's going to be a nightmare. Oh, ye of little faith. Turned out that people decided to treat each other better, decided to treat each other with some grace and some patience. And for the most part, they behaved themselves in New York City. I understand they had looting and rioting in Canada, but that's the Canadians. But normally, this is a cantankerous, difficult people, America, to govern. And it takes wisdom and strength and discernment and guidance to govern this land. Mr. Mayor, as the elected executive of the city, it takes discernment and guidance from God Almighty to be willing to be open to what God would say, to God's guidance in governing this city. Amen. And we need that guidance, my friends. Not just here in Sigelville, not just here in Dallas County, not just here in the state of Texas, not just here in the United States, but all over this world. We need the guidance of God's grace, God's wisdom, God's mercy, God's mind, the mind of Christ, to properly govern and guide us through these difficult times. My first point today is that even in the moment when he was off at the wrong place worshiping God, God reached through that error to the right intention and spoke to him. He listened and was receptive to God's voice and asked not for himself things that would enrich himself, but that which was needed to rightly govern the people of God. And God gave it. In other words, God works through human beings, even sinning, imperfect, unrighteous people like you and like me and like Solomon. He reaches out to us in our dark moments and doesn't disdain from working through us and giving us the grace, the strength, the wisdom that we need to walk from day to day. He causes us to wise up, if you will. He enlivens our minds and empowers us to see and to know and to do the right thing. Even though we are sinners, even though we are lost, even though we like sheep have gone astray and have led everyone away from the path that God has called us to walk, even though we are sinners, Christ died while we were yet sinners. And that proves God's love toward us. And just as God loved Solomon and reached through his sin and granted him wisdom to rightly rule the people of God, so also God will reach through our sin, our errors, our wanderings, our mistakes, to give us the wisdom that we need to be able to rightly lead the family of God, this city, this state, this country, and the world. Wisdom. Rightly discerning, rightly dividing falsehood from truth. Wisdom, rightly dividing the wrong way from the right way. Wisdom, rightly dividing, discerning the path that God has for us from the path of sin. That is a gift that we should all ask for and pray for today. Solomon was given an opportunity to exercise that gift. Later, the story continues, two women who were prostitutes, not exactly the best people in town, by the way, two women who were prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Please, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then on the third day after I gave birth, this woman also gave birth. We were together. There was no one else with us in the house. Only the two of us were in the house. Then this woman's son died in the night because she rolled over on top of him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your servant slept. She laid him on her breast and laid her dead son on my breast. Then I rose up in the morning to nurse my son, and I saw that he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning, clearly it was not the son I had born. But the other woman said, 'No, the living son is mine, and the dead son is yours.' The first said, 'No, the dead son is yours.' And the The living son is mine. So they argued before the king. Then the king said, the one says, this is my son that is alive, and your son is dead. While the other says, not so. Your son is dead, and my son is living one. So the king said, bring me a sword. Bring me a sword. We'll cut the child in two. The living child in two. We'll divide the living child in two and give half to each. And what happened? The mother of the living child said, no, no, no. Give the child to her. Don't chop him in two. Give the child to the other mother. The mother whose child died, rather than harm the living child. And Solomon knew who the real mother was. For the real mother cared more for the needs, the concerns, the health, the welfare of her child than she did about keeping that child to herself. The real mother cared more for the need and concern of her child than she did for herself, and was willing to give that baby up if only that child could live. I thought about asking for a volunteer. I thought there'd be too many volunteers, frankly. Or too many, especially too many siblings to volunteer their other sibling to serve as a visual aid in today's message. That's sharp, Dad. I'm going to tell you, that's wisdom, my friends, to recognize that the way to find out who the true mother was to offer a deal like that. Chop the baby in two. Give half to one and half to the other. That's fair. It's fair to chop the baby in two and give half to one mother and half to the other, right? No. Let the baby live. Let the baby live. Give the baby to the other mother. Let the baby live. My friends, discerning the will of God, discerning the way that God has for us is sometimes as sharp and cutting as that. Sometimes we must be willing to give up our own way in order for God's way to reign. Sometimes we have to be willing to give up what we hope and desire for, what we think is the right way, what we think is best even, so that God's way can prevail. Sometimes we have to give up what we think is right, what we really and truly want, what we desire for the good of that other person or thing. The mother whose child was alive knew that if she gave up her rightful demand to her child, her son would not die and would continue to live. And that would be right and good for her son. And Solomon knew it. And he knew that the true mother would give up her child rather than have it killed, cut in two. He cut into the question. He discerned the truth of which mother was the true mother of this child by seeing who would give up the claim. My friends, sometimes we in receiving the wisdom of God. Sometimes we in receiving the mind of Christ. Sometimes we in receiving that discerning strength and insight and power must be willing at times to give up that which we think and hope and desire for in order for God's will to be done. Well, I think that what ought to be done is this. Really? For the good of the church, for the good of the city, for the good of the country, maybe we need to do this other. Ask yourself a cutting, discerning question today. Are you more willing for God's will to be done than your own? Well, I think my will is God's will. I'm tempted to say that sometimes. I pray that sometimes my will does reflect God's will. But I'm also willing to be humble and recognize that God's ways are not our ways. And we need to be willing to give up our own demands to hear and receive God's demands and to live the way God would have us live. The mother whose child had died thinks that it's an equitable distribution. The mother whose child was living was willing to give the baby up so that the child could continue living. The love of the mother was evident in the discerning eye of Solomon. What do we need to give up as a people today? What do we need to give up? What demand, what claim, what thought, what opinion? What agenda do we need to give up so that God's will can be worked in our own lives? I can think of several in my own personal life. Ideas, thoughts, agendas, desires that are getting in the way of God working a miracle in my life. What about you? What do you need to see divided in your life? What discerning cut of the Holy Spirit do you need in your life in order to hear and to know and to receive the wisdom of God? My friends, Solomon, even though he stumbled, even though he offered sacrifices where he shouldn't have offered them, even though later on he would set up temples to other gods in Israel, and even though he would go from bed to bed to bed to bed as king with his concubines, even though he made terrible mistakes, still nevertheless, God gave to him discerning wisdom. God worked with a sinner like Solomon. God can work with us if we're willing to give up what we might want, the riches, the power, the position, in order for God's will to be done. Allow the sharp sword of God's Holy Spirit, discerning power, the wisdom in the mind of Christ, to come into your life, to divide falsehood from truth, life from death, and the will of God from sin. Allow the sharp, discerning sword of the mind of Christ to come into your life today and cut away those sinful barriers that lay between us and following God's will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.